Good day, and welcome back to What's Ailing America. One of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. On this show, you will hear the truth no matter how against the grain it is. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by the Republic Broadcasting Network, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list. And let me also remind you that I'm a co-host of 205C with Janet Phelan on Saturdays on republicbroadcasting.org at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. Or we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing, especially with the legion of disinformers out there. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The number to call in is listed on the republicbroadcasting.org website. It is toll-free USA, 800-313-9443. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we've been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease, and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. And yes, now our country is being ransacked by the banksters, and we're being brought into the New World Order, but the good news is, folks, that people are waking up, because it's getting very obvious that the people in the District of Criminals do not have our best interests at hand. On today's show, we're going to be talking about energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And this is going to blow your mind, folks, what Dr. Wood is going to tell you about what actually brought down the World Trade Center. So I hope that you will tune in and listen to the show, and please do feel free to call in if you have any questions. She has been researching this for some time. I'll bring her on after the break and introduce her. You will be very impressed with her resume. So, folks, stay tuned for this show because this is going to tell you things that you didn't want to know but which you do need to know. Everybody's pretty much in the know in terms of the fact that the World Trade Center was brought down. But how it was brought down is another whole matter. And that's what you're going to learn about today with Dr. Judy Wood. We'll bring her on after the break. So stay tuned, folks. Be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons. And my special guest is Dr. Judy Wood. Her website is drjudywood.com. She's a former professor of mechanical engineering with research interests in experimental stress analysis, structural mechanics, optical methods, deformation analysis, and materials characterization of biomaterials and composite materials. She is a member of the Society for Experimental Mechanics, co-founded SEM's Biological Systems and Materials Division, and currently serves on the SEM Composite Materials Technical Division. She received her bachelor's degree in civil engineering and structural engineering, her MS in engineering mechanics, and her PhD in materials and engineering science from the Department of Engineering, Science, and Mechanics at Virginia Polytechnic Institute and the State University in Blacksburg, Virginia. Her dissertation involved the development of an experimental method to measure thermal stresses in biomaterial joints. She has taught courses including experimental stress analysis, engineering mechanics of materials, which involves the strength of materials, and strength of materials testing. From 1999 to 2006, Dr. Wood has been an assistant professor in the Mechanical Engineering Department at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. Before moving to Clemson, she spent 3 years as a postdoctoral research associate in the Department of Engineering, Science, and Mechanics at Virginia Tech. Dr. Wood is currently writing a book with Morgan Reynolds based on the physical evidence for understanding and explaining the events on 9/11. One of Dr. Wood's research interests is biomimicry, or applying the mechanical structures of biological materials to engineering design using engineering materials. Other recent research has investigated the deformation behavior of materials and structures with complex geometrics and complex material properties such as fiber-reinforced composite materials and biological materials. She's an expert in the use of Moir interferometry, a full-field optical method that is used in stress analysis, as well as materials characterization and other types of interference. In recent years, she and her students have developed optical systems with various wavelengths and waveguides. She has over 60 technical publications in reference journals, conference proceedings, and edited monographs and special technical reports. She started to question the events of 9/11 on that same day when what she saw and heard on television was contradictory and appeared to violate the laws of physics. Since that day, she has used her knowledge of engineering mechanics to prove that the collapse of the World Trade Center Twin Towers could not have happened as the American public was told. And her list of articles that she's written is just too huge to even go into. So welcome to the show, Dr. Wood.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm not even sure where to start. Can you just tell
our listeners? We can start in Manhattan at the WTC and look around and see that there's no towers there.
Yes. Yes, and I was reading about something called the Hutchinson effect, and if you could possibly maybe explain that to our listeners, and how is that involved in what happened to the World Trade Center?
Well, what happened with the World Trade Center, I've been looking at the evidence, looking at the pictorial evidence. And in doing so, I listed various phenomena that I had come across, specific phenomena, and I'd given it various names that weren't, official names, but unique names to identify it with so I wouldn't bias my observations.
Mm-hmm.
Like fuzz balls, fuzzy blobs, dustification, new terms. Until I could figure out what these phenomena were, and each one, and so I listed these, and then I came across some work of John Hutchison, and I was just totally shocked, blown out of the water, that there was a one-to-one correlation with each of the phenomena that I had listed with what he had produced on a small scale. Part of what the Hutchison effect is, levitation is probably the most popular one, but there's gelification of materials, fusing different materials together, but like a piece of wood in a block of aluminum. You can't melt aluminum and pour it over wood without the wood burning up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a hard one to explain. There's another one with a butter knife embedded in aluminum. Material just turns to jelly and then re-solidifies later when the effects turn off. There's also disintegration of materials. It turns to dust, goes poof. A lot of strange effects. And he does it with interfering different energy fields, different kinds of energy fields. So electromagnetic, static, radio frequency, And who knows what the exact balance is. He's got a very good feel for it. And so knowing he had reproduced each one of these effects I had seen at Ground Zero was very intriguing. And so I looked into, how could we supersize what he's done on a large scale? And I think I found the answer to that. But it was quite accidental that I tripped upon it. But some of the interesting features I saw at Ground Zero were that it's still ongoing. It didn't stop 7 years ago.
What didn't stop 7 years ago?
The dustification. There are still materials breaking down there.
Wow.
That's why they're having the heck of a problem with Bankers Trust. They first, you know, the one that was across the street from Tower 2?
Right.
It had a gash in the front. They repaired it, replaced the beams that were, you know, torn out and destroyed, and then those beams began to disintegrate.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to take the building apart. And they've only taken it halfway down, approximately, by now. Doesn't that seem strange after 7 years?
It certainly does seem strange.
The steel they replaced it with, you know, regions where that repair work had been done, the images of the steel there looks like it's been at the bottom of the ocean for 100 years. How can steel on the inside of a building look like that way?
Mm-hmm. So could you try to explain in layman's terms what is it that you think that they did on that horrible day to bring these buildings down?
I don't know who they is.
Mm-hmm.
I know the physical effects of it. What we can see that we can, you know, prove to ourselves that is ongoing. Like, the buildings turned into dust in midair.
Yes.
And there was dust that landed. Solid objects didn't go flat on the ground. There's, you know, the earthquake analysis of it made less of an impact hitting the ground than did, you know, like a controlled demolition of a much, much smaller building.
Right.
For example, Building 7 was about equal to the force of a jackhammer on the sidewalk. A 47-story building with each floor about the area of a football field. That's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it was whisper quiet. It should be like 20,000 dump trucks crashing to the ground, like raining dump trucks.
Right.
So why was it so quiet? Did the building really hit the ground? And then we notice the dust once it hits the ground and you have a clear blue sky. You know, it settles out very quickly. And then pretty soon you start getting this haze rising up. So that haze could not have settled out in 15 minutes. It had to have arrived on the ground as coarse dust and then continued to break down into finer and finer dust. That is pretty intriguing.
Exactly.
And think of what you would need to do to disconnect every molecule in the building. That's an amazing technology, worthy of studying.
Definitely.
Think of good things we could do with that technology. Free energy. No one needs to go hungry. No one needs to be short of energy. We can think of other things to do with our abilities instead of worrying about, you know, running on a treadmill 24 hours a day.
Exactly. So Where do you think this technology emanated from? Where did they set off this weapon?
Well, on that day, the technology being developed, it's been around for 100 years.
Yeah,
scale, maybe even larger scale, with Nikola Tesla.
Right.
I don't know, you know, who pushed buttons where, and that isn't so important as the fact that something horrendous happened on that day, and it's very much worthy of studying it, and it's, you know, pretty mind-boggling that folks don't want to study it. They could look at it as a gift. You know, it's horrible what it was used for, But if that's out there, it can be used again and again. And that should be a concern.
Definitely.
But the health effects of it ongoing is very troubling.
Yes.
But I was up there as recently as January, and as soon as you step out of your vehicle, you know, you get a horrible sore throat. And I could tell which part of the complex as I walked around gave me a worse sore throat than another. And you still see the fuming coming from the ground here and there.
Wow. And obviously, I'm sure that has a lot to do with the fact that they haven't been able to erect their memorial in that spot. They keep using excuses why they haven't done it, but I'm sure...
And isn't it interesting why they want to erect a memorial there?
Yes.
Because they can't build on it.
Very interesting. Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned, folks, and call in if you have any questions. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy. A special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And Dr. Wood, could you mention some of the anomalies at the World Trade Center that you observed when you went there that show that this was definitely not the situation that they told us it was, in other words, that the planes crashed into the building and brought the buildings down. Everybody knows that, but you had some very interesting anomalies that you were talking about on your website.
Well, thanks. First of all, yeah, my website, drjudywood.com, and I've got, I'm in the process of making a new web page. There's a link at the top. You can go to that and see some pictures. But also there's an FAQ page, Frequently Asked Questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some graphics there that will give you an idea of what interference of energy fields might be like, how to visualize it. But there's a list of principal data that needs to be explained by whatever story, and the official story doesn't do it. That they were destroyed, the buildings were destroyed faster than can be explained by free fall. The ground shook for 8 seconds, and it would take 9.22 in a vacuum for the roof to hit the ground.
Wow.
In other words, the buildings went away faster than they could fall. Yeah, dust doesn't make a thud when it hits. They underwent mid-air pulverization. You know, things can turn into dust if the floor slammed against each other, but then they couldn't go down fast because that would be, you know, an obstruction of each. So, but they're flying through the air, just turning into dust. And the protective bathtub that held out the Hudson River, that because the bottom of the World Trade Center was built, the bottom seven stories are built under the water table. So there's this bathtub liner that holds out the Hudson River. And it wasn't destroyed. And there was more damage to it from the earth moving equipment after 9/11 than the destruction of two 500,000 ton buildings on top of it. Doesn't make any sense.
It certainly doesn't.
There's rail lines that go under the Hudson that connect to the basement of the bathtub. They weren't destroyed. Neither was the tunnel going under the Hudson. If it had been, you would have flooded Manhattan. And the mall right underneath the ground level survived. I'd like to point out, my favorite is the Warner Brothers characters, Roadrunner and Foghorn Leghorn, life-size characters, and they didn't have a scratch on them. And let's see, there's... the towers were destroyed from the top down. So why would that be? That's not consistent with any sort of destruction mechanism to date that we have seen. The seismic impact that the towers made when they hit the ground was equivalent to 80% of the building being removed and only the bottom 16 to 20 floors hitting the ground. In other words, if you disappeared the top 90 stories of Tower 1 and just dropped something that has the same footprint that's 20 stories tall, if you slammed that down, it would make the same seismic impact that was seen. So what happened to the other 90 stories? And for Building 7, it's equivalent to the the seismic impact was equivalent to the bottom 2.5 stories. Now, something's not right here. There's only one file cabinet that survived and had these colored dividers in it. No toilet survived. That, to me, is striking. How many toilets were in a building of that size? You know, that serves 50,000 people? You'd have a whole lot of ceramic toilets.
Exactly.
You should see some piece of some toilet somewhere. None. But there was office paper everywhere. Papers up and down the street that didn't burn. And they were sitting next to these vehicles that looked like they were burning. But why didn't the paper catch fire if the cars were indeed burning? And that brings us to the strange cars. I call them toasted cars. I don't mean as in burn, necessarily. I just mean destroyed. They're toast. They're history. They look like they could be burned, or some are just missing their engine. But the hood of the car is still down. So why is the engine gone, but the gas tank is intact? And my favorite one, the door handles. Whatever it was, likes to attack door handles and door latches. So sometimes it would free trunk lids to pop up. But there's at least 1,400 of these toasted vehicles around in southern Manhattan, some as far over as FDR Drive, parking lot full of them, with a sea of unburned paper in between. So why didn't the paper burn? Then there are vertical round holes that were cut into buildings 4, 5, and 6. You could see them from a sky view or helicopter view of the complex. These 24-foot diameter approximately size holes, cylindrical holes, just like a post hole digger. And Building 6, it's the whole middle half of the building had been hollowed out, right down to ground level, but not below ground level. Just this big open void. And there's testimony from a first responder who was actually in the lobby of Building 6 when it went poof.
We're going to a break. Let's get to that after the break. And we also have a caller on the line, Sheldon from Arizona. Hold on, Sheldon. We'll get to you after the break. Stay tuned. We're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And before we bring our caller on, Dr. Wood, could you please finish what you were saying about the first responder?
That was in the hole in Building 6.
Yes.
Yeah, they were there when it happened. They described everything going black, like total blackout of the sunlight because of this dense cloud. And, you know, some strange noises. And then when the dust cleared, he could look up at the blue sky. In other words, there's 8 stories of building that had been above him were gone. It was just blue sky up there. And the people who he was with, some of them were there and some of them were gone. If you were standing in the wrong place, you were gone. Just disappeared.
So they got vaporized along with the buildings.
Not vaporized, but I don't know what the process is, so that's why I say dustified.
Okay.
As vaporized has a particular meaning, and I don't think that applies. It applies to, you know, high heat.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're just gone. And he mentioned that he knew there was no point in looking for them, that they're just gone. He felt, you know, it's sort of a survivor's remorse of, why did he survive? Why did he happen to, you know, be right where he was and not get disappeared? That must have been just a horrendous, mind-blowing experience.
Definitely. So have you shared with any of the people that were there the results of your investigation?
Some people, what do you mean? You know, some people who lived in the area, I've spoken with.
Mm-hmm.
And I've mainly been looking at the evidence because we know it was a psychological operation. The biggest clue about that is the building is gone, down to ground level. why has it taken so long for someone to ask, where'd the building go?
Exactly.
That's why I know it's a psychological operation. And in such an event, you know, people's minds are not like tape recorders. People put together the best story they can with what they're exposed to. And I think, you know, humans have a need to have their questions answered. They keep asking questions until they get an answer. So if they're immediately given an answer, they stopped asking questions. And one of my favorite ones is the boots melting in 2 hours. So the story of the hot molten metal,
mm-hmm.
and how boots melted in just 2 hours, and there's lots of those stories. But we don't have a single story of the feet inside the boots
mm-hmm.
being burned.
Good point.
Now, steel-toed boots melting, but the you put a chicken inside your oven, and it gets cooked if the metal of the oven is going to get melted.
Exactly. So how do you explain that? How did they not get burnt?
How did they explain it? Oh, they don't explain that. It's just that story gets repeated over and over again, and people quit asking questions when they get answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's easy to trick them. Because to rethink it means you're having to relive the event, and who wants to do that?
Exactly.
So you're a first responder. You're told why your boots are falling apart. It's because the heat is melting them, and fine, you're good to go. You get another pair of boots on. So forth. But if you stop to think about it, that doesn't make sense. But if there's another process going on where the boots are actually breaking down from molecular dissociation, the boots might be breaking down, coming apart. So people need an answer for that.
Exactly. Oh, let's bring Sheldon on. Are you there, Sheldon?
Hello, Dr. Carly.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been listening to your shows for a while now. They're just fantastic. Out of curiosity, is your co-host Janet Phelan tuned in today?
I'm not sure.
Oh, anyway, if people don't want to conceptualize what Dr. Wood's saying about these fires, you can make an analogy to rubbing your hands with bleach. It feels like your hands are burning, but that doesn't mean they are burning. Is that how you described it, Dr. Wood?
Oh, that's an excellent analogy.
Yeah, because some people
Your hands would be burning with bleach in them, but if you stick a thermometer in, it would tell you a different story.
Right. And, you know, for 4 years now, I've been a fan of the controlled demolitions in the buildings, but keep in mind, there are 7 buildings that came down that day. This isn't talked about very often, and I noticed that people like Alex Jones don't talk about it either, but as long as it had a WTC prefix, all 7 buildings in that complex came down that day. See, you know, I think a lot of people in this official 9/11 truth movement have just been brainwashed, and I believe there's trolls out there that have been set up to control our thinking. Judy Wood has a great quote on her site. It says, the best way to control the opposition is to control it themselves. I believe that's to lead it themselves. I believe that's what we're seeing with this so-called official 9/11 truth movement. But anyway, Dr. Wood has been a great inspiration to me, and she's gotten me to actually start thinking more deeply on my own about this, and I appreciate you having her on today.
Oh, and I want to thank you for referring me to her work, and yes, it's so important. There's so many disinformers out there. It's in all areas. And I totally agree with what you're saying, that they lead us down the wrong path. And the controlled demolition aspect to it is bad enough. But when you actually get to the next level of what they're capable of doing, it's so shocking and horrifying that most people can't even wrap their head around it.
Yeah, we're talking about an exotic weaponry here that has the ability to turn this planet into another asteroid belt. It's just, we're dealing with the survival of the human race here with the technology that was employed that day. It's imperative that we try to get her on as many shows as possible to get the word out on this.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, with everything that they're doing between the inoculations, creating all these diseases, and These weapons such as this, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It gets very depressing, actually. You know, you wonder, how are we possibly going to put a stop to all this, these mad scientists and what they're capable of doing? It's really very disgusting.
Sure is. They're coming at us from every imaginable avenue they can think of, and so glad you had, you're carrying Dr. Wood on your show today. Don't forget to mention them. Well, you know, the former talk show host Chris Gerner, he woke me up to the realization about the fact that they're steering and engineering these hurricanes. Well, Dr. Wood has come upon an incredible piece of evidence here in her investigation about a hurricane headed right towards New York City on 9/11, and I'm going to let her expound on that. Anyway, I'll listen off air.
Okay, thank you for calling. Yes, please do expound on that, Dr. Wood.
That's impressive. He's really looked at my website. That's impressive.
Yes.
I was looking at this dustification and the fumes that continued for, you know, months, years. And last time I was there in January, poof, up they, you know, they're coming up. They bring in dirt, they truck in dirt, they stir it around, they truck it back out. Kind of like mopping up something with a sponge. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to focus in on this plume more carefully. And I saw one particular picture, a satellite image, where the white stuff is going up and southward, and the black stuff is going west over the Hudson. Imagine, you know, the fumes going in two different directions depending on the color. And I need to get different angles, so I thought, okay, let's go look at some other satellite images. And what? What's this thing? This huge hurricane right outside of New York City on 9/11. And looking at the path of it, it went from Bermuda straight in a very straight line directly towards New York City. And when it got right outside New York City, it stopped, got bigger, spread out. So if it got bigger, it slowed down a little bit. It didn't mean it was less powerful. The power was spread over a larger area. Turned around, and then it was the closest in the morning of 9/11, and then it started heading back out to sea the afternoon of 9/11, like it, you know, reported for duty to this job and turned around and left. Mighty peculiar, and I started looking into that more and found that it was, yeah, for the 24 hours surrounding 9/11, the hurricane's wind speed was constant, the pressure was constant. It was approximately a constant distance from New York City. No, it wasn't on top of New York City. It was just outside of town. The outer bands where it was raining were at the tip of Long Island. But there are reports of thunder at JFK Airport, LaGuardia Airport, Newark Airport, you know, and all the major airports surrounding Ground Zero, Southern Manhattan, which is mighty strange. Why do you have thunder? It's like dry thunder? That's field effects.
Wow.
So what does that have in common with the Hutchison effect? He interferes different types of fields, electromagnetic fields, radio frequency. Let's look at a hurricane. My goodness, doesn't that look like a huge Tesla coil? A supersized Tesla coil. You have the spiral thing on the stem, and then this big donut-shaped kind of toroid thing on the top. And you get an arcing between that top thing and the ground. You get the lightning bolts and so forth there. And you can sense when a storm is coming. These people who have arthritis are very sensitive to feeling the weather coming, feeling something's going to happen.
Right.
Their joints hurt and whatnot. So us humans have the ability to sense that field. There's other issues that go on with that field. Tornadoes are similar as well. There's this big flat plate up above and then the little stem that sticks down. It is arcing between the ground and the cloud. So you look at what else goes on with tornadoes and hurricanes and you find images of flipped cars, materials that merge together. But you remember the story we hear about straw going through trees? Well, isn't that kind of like the wood in the aluminum that John Hutchison produced?
Mm-hmm.
Where materials seem to, dissimilar materials seem to fuse together? that straw is not strong enough to stab a hole through a tree.
Wow.
How does it like embed itself in glass? Or some really weird stories. And it's not the speed it's traveling, because then the force has still got to be equal on either side. And there's, cars just get lifted up, and they get gently set down someplace else, like on top of a tree, without a scratch on them. On my website, I have pictures from Hurricane Andrew that show a car sitting on a fence, another one with a piece of plywood right through the middle of a tree, another one with a 2x4 through the stem of a palm tree, pretty high up off the ground, just sticking through it. It looks just fine, except it happens to be located right through a tree. They're mighty strange things.
And how are they producing this weather? Is that with a HAARP machine in Alaska?
I don't know how they produced it, but I think it's a pretty good conclusion that they did produce it, because why didn't they tell us about it? You have this huge hurricane. They anticipate it would be bigger than Katrina, be more powerful than Katrina. You know, 72 hours out, the predictions of the wind speeds were far greater than they had predicted Katrina 72 hours out. And so why didn't they alert anyone, saying, well, we're hoping it's going to, bypass New York, but in case it does, folks, we might want to think about evacuating, because, New York is almost at sea level, 10, 20 feet above sea level for southern Manhattan, of the water table. Imagine if you had a storm surge that you get from hurricanes, especially if it's stationary, just parked right outside of town. Like JFK Airport. That's really, I think that's 12 feet above sea level. And then this little bay area where you could really get this huge surge just flooding the whole area. So just in case, shouldn't people be warned? And the weather map that morning, I've got some screenshots from NBC and ABC, Good Morning America, whatever the early morning show is called, where they have the weather map, and it shows that part of the ocean. It shows no hurricane. So you have this huge hurricane, like 500 miles in diameter, right outside New York City, but it's not on the weather map in the morning's weather. That seems mighty peculiar. So, to me, this looks like, media complicity.
Definitely.
And it's not just foreplanning. I mean, it's not just foreknowledge, but actually foreplanning. You wouldn't want to scare people into packing up and leaving town if you want them to watch the fireworks show on their TV.
Exactly.
You don't want them to be evacuating. We want them to focus fully on it. So it also, the confidence that the hurricane's going to turn around and leave is so high that they don't need to warn anybody. That, to me, really strongly implies weather control. Other than, have you ever heard of a hurricane aimed straight for New York City to make a U-turn and head out to sea? I tried to find another hurricane on that same path to compare the data with. I couldn't find one. They go up the coast. I'm not seeing one that goes towards the coast. They swing up from Florida, North Carolina, and then they kind of curve outward.
Right.
But this one was going perpendicular to that, which is a very strange motion.
So was this hurricane a side effect of whatever they did that day, or was this also done intentionally?
I think this was the gizmo. Imagine if they could make a hurricane. If hurricanes, through their field effects, can levitate things, you've seen cars sitting in trees afterwards, but
right.
That's not from the wind. They don't have any scratches on them. Houses totally, dislocated. But if that provides a field like a Tesla coil, in which you interfere another field, you can focus the destruction. Let's say that's only one of the components. You have, let's say in your lab, in your basement, you have a Tesla coil. And then you have another energy field that you're going to interfere with that. And then maybe put voltage in some place in that field, like put some plates. Various things you could experiment with, I'm sure. I've not done it myself. but I can visualize it. And doing that in a small scale is one thing, but how do you do that in large scale? I think the hurricane played a part.
Okay, I hear the music. We're going to a break. We'll be right back, folks. Call in with questions. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And this is a short segment before we start the second hour, Dr. Wood, but if you could comment on the planes. There are some people that I know that have researched this that actually felt that there weren't even any planes, that was a massive holographic image. Of course, if there were planes, what happened to the planes? You know, why weren't there pieces of planes falling on the ground and things of that nature? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't know exactly what went on visually at the scene, but what I do know is that a big Boeing would not make a cookie cutter cutout big Boeing in the side of a building, except in Wile E. Coyote cartoons. There's actually a human that, you know, made sense there. You know, children see those Roadrunner cartoons and they laugh because it's ridiculous physics. There's a radio announcer who's just arrived at the scene on 9/11. He looked up and said, "There's an airplane-shaped, you know, snicker, snicker, you know, eagle hole in the building." He recognized it as being silly. And then he realized the inappropriateness of giggling at the time, but it just seemed so ridiculous to see an airplane-shaped hole cut out of a building. Yeah, airplanes do not make airplane-shaped holes. And if you think about the wingtip, you know, out there the wingtip, it's 5 inches tall, and there's like a 5-inch slice through steel columns. Huh? Yeah. That got me. It's like, okay, something weird is going on here. There's a lot of interesting thoughts you can have about how that hole got there, but a big Boeing would not make an airplane-shaped hole in the building.
I totally agree with you. The whole thing is bizarre. And just even realizing the extent of the conspiracy involved here, how many people must have been involved, it's like I said before, it's hard to even wrap your head around it.
But they don't realize they were involved. Like the people repeating the stories about the steel-toed boots, they're not telling a lie. That's what they believe because they're told that and they just repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're you know, without realizing what they're doing. And there's, you know, people across this country and around the world saw those pictures on their TV sets. But they don't realize that they see pictures of, you know, Star Trek spacecraft, you know, on their TV set.
Exactly.
What's the difference? Well, they're told that that's not real. And they were told this was real.
Well, in my experience, trying to wake people up as to how my profession is killing people and creating disease, one of the problems is that people, they can't even conceive of anything this evil. And so they look for an excuse to explain what happened that day, because they don't want to believe the obvious fact that this was done on purpose to bring us into where we're going with this whole New World Order thing, and so that they could have an excuse to go to war. I mean, it's so obvious, but your information definitely brings it to the next level.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I think the most important thing is to think, you know, how did we get here? We got here by turning over our thinking to the TV set or to whomever.
Yes.
And
tell lie vision. That's what I call it, tell lie vision. It's telling lies to your vision. And it's really hysterical, actually, seeing all the commercials they have telling people that they're going to digital in February of next year. Isn't it interesting how desperate they are to make sure everybody's still hooked up to the boob tube?
Yeah, and also so they can monitor what you're watching.
Oh, and monitor us. Yes, they're watching us.
Yeah, because they can't monitor it through, like, you know, rabbit ears.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be back after the break, and we have another caller on the line, Frank, Virginia. Hold on, Frank. We'll get to you after the break. Stay tuned, folks. We're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And we have a caller on the line, Frank in Virginia. Hey there, Frank.
Hi, Dr. Wood. Well, right now, as you know, we're in an economic crisis, and we, the we're having to give $700 billion to buy out worthless securities. And how could this free energy that was used to dustify the towers, how could that be used for good? What could it mean for people instead of having to pay all this money for worthless securities? What if they put $700 billion into free energy?
That would be a dream come true. But then, you know, you control the energy, you control the people, and you have power over them. So it kind of defeats the motivation, doesn't it? If you empower the people, you would lose your power.
Yeah. How long do you think that we could have had this free energy?
100 years at least.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I've been studying Nikola Tesla for years, and he'd actually built a tower in Long Island that the banksters made sure, J.P. Morgan especially, that it didn't proceed forward. He had the capability 100 years ago to give us energy all over this country without electrical wires. This has been available for 100 years.
And that was his goal, is to give that gift to the world.
Exactly.
And something that few people realize, alternating current is what he gave to us as well.
Do you think there's some reason why don't we demand that we have this free energy? Why don't we go out and tell our congresspeople that we've got to have it?
They aren't our congresspeople.
No, they're all sellouts. I mean, they're all puppets in Washington. They all know exactly what the plan is. And if they're not willing to go along with the plan, then they're not allowed to stay there. And they're selling us out in every way, every day. And it does have to be the people that do something about it. And I always say I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. We have to wake up as many people as possible as to all of these things that are going on. Make them understand. We have to do it. And how are we going to do that? I don't claim to have all the answers, but I know it's got to be the people. Forget the Congress.
Do both of you think that people know about this free energy, but they, for some reason, they're somehow stupefied, somehow mind controlled, that they don't act on what they know?
Well, first of all, half the people in this country are on psychiatric drugs. We've got fluoride in the water, which is another way that they mind control people. They're keeping everybody very busy. You know, there's so many people that have autistic children or sick parents. I mean, they're keeping us busy in every way possible. A lot of people know about Tesla. But I will say it's very interesting. When I was in college, I never heard his name except for Tesla units, which I don't even remember exactly what that measures. But I was not taught about Nikola Tesla in college or medical school. I learned about him on my own. But there's a lot of people that know. It's just everybody doesn't know what to do. But I will say I had no idea that they could use that technology to bring down the towers. This is another whole level, as I said.
Well, doesn't the fact that the towers are dustified, doesn't that prove that we have free energy?
Please comment, Dr. Wood.
Yes, it's a demonstration that it works. If there's any question about it, that removes all doubt. And we all saw, if you open your eyes and look, you can see the, I call them wheat checks, the outer columns. They come, in, when they made the building, they made prefab units of three columns wide, three-fourths tall. You see those things flying through the air, and they never hit the ground.
Okay, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood, and I suggest you go to her website, drjudywood.com. Please finish what you were saying before the break about the columns.
The columns?
One last question here.
Okay, well, please let her finish.
Okay.
You were talking about the prefab columns.
The point that we know it worked is, you know, Building 7 is very extraordinary that you have a 47-story building, like double the highest building that's ever been destroyed by regular controlled demolition, and it didn't even spill across the street. The post office, the U.S. Postal Building, is that big building just to the east of the world, of WTC 7. There's three traffic lanes down, way down there on the road below. Imagine that building dropping down and not even crossing all three lanes of traffic. You could ride your bike down the sidewalk on the other side of the street. It didn't cross the street. How can that be? All the way around. It's where'd the material go? It did not slam to the ground. It didn't make a boom, a thud. The seismograph, it looks like you can't really pick out a signal stronger than the background noise of just, rumbling traffic. So there's something horrendous that happened. If you could get all of the molecules, instead of having them attract each other, have them repel each other. That's a weird form of energy. It's like the energy is being tapped out of the building material.
Exactly. So, okay, Frank, if you have another question, go ahead.
Yeah,
we have callers lining up.
So do people like John Hutchison, do they know how to give us this free energy? Can they make stuff that, like batteries and so on, that can help us?
Yes, he makes batteries that last like indefinitely of really simple, cheap, dirt cheap materials. I think that's what he calls them, dirt cheap batteries, from dirt cheap rocks.
Wow.
And has a lot of knowledge, I believe, in how to reproduce the work of Nikola Tesla. And I think it's an important thing for our civilization, and it's something we should cherish, not hide.
And not use for destructive
purposes. Something we should use.
Yeah, we should use for good.
Exactly.
We know it's out there. It's been developed. And I understand from Nikola Tesla's work that he knew more than he let on, and he didn't let it on because he sensed it would probably be used for evil purposes. So he held back. But they have developed it, and it's there. So we may as well use it for good.
Exactly.
But the host was saying that J.P. Morgan or someone suppressed the Tesla work.
Right, and they tore down his tower out on Long Island.
So they're still suppressing it, that we have Morgan Stanley now.
Yeah, it's more of the same.
Well, just like Dr. Wood said, you see, they're using energy to control us. If there's free energy available to everyone, just imagine what that would do. The people that control the world are the ones that control all these oil-based dinosaur meat energy technologies. They don't want us to have free energy, and so they are suppressing it. That's one of their mechanisms of control.
Exactly.
I mean, they wouldn't be able to divide and conquer us.
Exactly.
And keep us busy and all stirred up into wars chasing our tails.
Exactly.
What's the purpose of war?
Well, what about global warming? We've got to have free energy.
Well, that's why we have to get this information out to people. Like I said, the only ones that are going to take care of business is the people.
Right.
Nobody's
going to do it for us.
Exactly.
Well,
please spread the word
about you. Thank you to both of you.
Okay, and spread
thank
the word about
calling.
The broadcast. The archives will be up later today. A lot of people need to hear this information. Okay, we have Mo in Oregon. Are you there, Mo?
Very much. Thank you very much indeed for taking my call, and hello to both of ladies. I would like to ask Dr. Wood, have you ever seen the movie Zero yet?
I have seen parts of it, enough of it that I lost interest in it.
Why did you? Because he was explaining very good that an aeroplane, if it's Pentagon, it's big, but there was only a small hole over there. I mean, he was very more deeper into the movie 0911 investigation. I mean, right now it is on Google, but the thing is, I'm surprised that you say you don't like that movie.
It's going backwards. It's not looking at the evidence. The evidence at Ground Zero or in New York City is that the buildings were turned to dust. They did not slam to the ground. So they could not have been taken down by thermite bombs in the building, you know, a kinetic energy device, because you would still have that amount of mass that would need to be slammed down to the ground. The building mass did not slam down to the ground. That is the key. And that movie is covering up free energy, in my opinion.
Was the same technology used at the Pentagon as was used at the World Trade Center?
I believe so. It has all the same hallmark signs that I noticed, like especially the fuming.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Thank you very much for giving us the insight. I thought that movie Zero is so very well made that, but it seems you have otherwise information about the movie.
It's slick Hollywood. I think it's designed to get people to not think. It's just like a television. I think it's designed to get people to not think about what really did happen that day. And yeah, my presentation is not slick. Sorry, but I'm busy researching what actually happened. And I want people to look at the information themselves. So look at the images, and you'll see what happened.
Yes, I definitely agree with. I just want to say I definitely agree with you, Dr. Wood, that distract people away from the fact that this free energy technology was used to do it. I mean, that is the real smoking gun.
Yes.
For people to realize that.
Yes, exactly.
Don't you think so? It's a small new case was inside and brought both towers down?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
A small new case?
You're talking about a nuclear bomb?
Yes, yes.
That's something that goes boom, and there's no seismic impact.
But
can't have a boom. And we noticed, remember, that the paper that was all over Manhattan, it didn't burn. It came snowing out the window, so whatever it was didn't seem to affect paper.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting. And,
wouldn't explain how the cars a mile away were toasted.
Yeah, take a look at her website, Mo. You have to see those images.
So there's updated recently, the FAQ page, Frequently Asked Questions.
Mm-hmm.
You find that link at the top of about any page of my website. And the very bottom of that is a little short course on Nikola Tesla. And there's various images and questions and there's a lot of information there.
So can you please give me your website again, please?
DrJudyWood.com. That's DrJudyWood.com.
Oh, okay. I will go ahead and right now to your website, and I appreciate both ladies taking my call, and thank you very much, Dr. Carly. You're number one. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mo. Okay. We have George in Illinois. Are you there, George?
Hi, Dr.
Are you there,
Carly?
George?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Dr. Carly. Hi, Dr. Wood. I'm very interested in your research, and I was wondering, I had a few questions. Did you, first of all, get a chance to listen to Jim Hoffman's seminar? I think it's posted on Guns and Butter, and he talks about the thermodynamics formulas that I haven't seen his exact analysis, but what he says is that it can be proven through the formulas, thermodynamics, that the pyroclastic mass far exceeded the events that of the plane striking the building. So that's number one. That's a given, given his analysis. And then there's a next step, which is if it is, in fact, something more sophisticated than a controlled demolition, which I think it is, that can be proven through a series of formulas as well. Do you know of any research that's been done to really say, look, the amount of energy is this amount, the amount of energy expended on this event? In other words, if you look at an event, you can determine or at least look forward to what might happen to these objects in terms of what's expected. After the Madrid fire, which lasted for 19 hours, it burned a lot of the structure. It weakened it. It didn't really fail. The structural beams, columns, didn't really fail, but they weakened them. And then after the fire died down, and there was not enough oxygen, then you can see the condition of that. That was a burn, and the result of that was the structure was still standing, and it didn't collapse. So in events like ours, 9/11, you can really take a look at. What must have happened? What are some of the true possibilities? Directed energy or other DARPA programs?
Okay, George, hold on. We're going to a break. We'll let Dr. Wood respond after the break. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. George, were you done with your comment?
Yes.
Okay, would you like to respond, Dr. Wood?
Yes, as I've said before, let's not get distracted by equations. You can have a computer generating numbers forever, but what do they mean? If you're in New York City, just look out your window. Are the towers still there? So whatever energy was required, we achieved it. Next question, where did the building go? Where did the material go? By noon on that day, the quote rubble pile, they like to refer to it as the pile to make you think that there's a pile there. But you could take a shot at ground level through the complex from east to west, right at ground level, through where the buildings had stood. In other words, the rescue workers had to walk horizontally or rappel down into empty caverns to look for survivors. And there weren't any. There weren't even remnants of any.
Yeah, I'm not talking about really doing analysis in terms of numbers only. I'm really looking at kind of the big picture, which is really, like you said, bodies, the size of the breakdown of particles.
And they kept getting
kind of
smaller
visible.
And smaller.
Yeah, I mean, they're extremely clear that this is the kind of results that can only happen by certain activities or energies, whereas others, like you said, a fire causes this, and it cannot possibly cause something else. So that's pretty broad.
Right. The building didn't go bang to the ground. Right. The seismograph shows that.
Right.
It dust doesn't make a thud when it hits. So something turned the building to dust without slamming to the ground, and there's not enough material there to speak of. Approximately,
But at some point, as a scientist, you have to do the analysis in terms of objective data. For instance, I'll give you a case example. I have a friend that's a doctor who's doing studies on the White Phosphorus weapons and other unknown weapons that were directed at Lebanon civilians. Very strange stuff. Their bodies were, the liquid portion of their body was removed. Their skin was bloated, the chemical composition was altered, so they're doing a lot of testing on the results of that, and they've never seen anything like it.
Right.
In other words, you can't just do it by visible inspection. They want to do far more, and they are. So,
well, right. I'd say, starting from the gross overall,
yeah, what you're saying
you
is
know that it's not
step.
A kinetic energy weapon.
You're doing the first step, but what they're doing is far more advanced in terms of, you have to, and you're doing that too, and your website shows that. In other words, they're actually confirming that it can only be other research.
Oh, right, programs. Right. The way you start out your question, it seemed that you want to know what numbers.
Yeah, I maybe.
And those numbers apply to a particular mechanism. If it's not that mechanism, those numbers are meaningless.
Exactly. It's
a
broad category.
So that's like, why do it? First, look, is the building there? No, the building's gone. The material of, that should be left on the ground, assuming this kinetic energy activity is not there, so end of story. And then you start looking at other mechanisms. Here's an analogy for the listeners. It's not just the energy it takes to do X, Y, and Z. It's the type of energy. Imagine a drinking glass. You sit down on the countertop. And you want to move it from one point to another. So you drag it across. That takes a certain amount of energy. But if you put some water on the countertop and hydroplane it across, it takes a whole lot less energy. And you move that glass from point A to point B. It's just a different mechanism. So there's different mechanisms that were in play. And the mechanism that we saw the evidence of on 9/11 is a magnificent mechanism that could be used for good instead of evil. That's my biggest point.
A couple of things I want to, if I could point to in terms of some research that I've done, is there's a couple... There's several good documents which were done about a year before 9/11, and I find it interesting. There was a project called Radiant Dawn, which is a DARPA program coordinated by NIH and U.S. MRID. So they're doing a lot of research and development for directed energy programs about a year before 9/11. Another source that I find amazing is John Alexander, who's the director of mass mind control programs in the Pentagon, worked with Tom Clancy for a book in November 2000 called Future War, Non-Lethal Weapons in the 21st Century. Now, this wasn't specific exactly in terms of the detail of what you're talking about, but it really spelled out the principles and the concepts of these directed energy programs. I don't know if you've read out those books, but those are amazing. They tie in exactly with your research.
Yeah, John Alexander visited John Hutchison in 1983 for 4 months, filming everything he was doing in his lab, documenting it. So he's very well aware of this technology that I was speaking of.
Now, does this connect very closely to the zero-point research, which is... anti-gravity technology for a directed energy program?
Yes, I think it's all related.
I agree.
I hear the music. We're going to a break. This is a very interesting conversation. Let's continue on the other side. Stay tuned, folks. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons with my special guest, Dr. Judy Wood. And Dr. Wood, one thing I was wondering is how were they able to so control these weapons? There's so many other buildings in the area that were not affected, or at least not as affected as one would think, although you did mention that one bank. How do you think they were able to control it to the degree that they did?
Well, I got to thinking about, you know, the field effects, like of a tornado or a hurricane, like thunderstorms. You have that potential between the cloud and the ground. Imagine the moment just before that lightning bolt zaps across. Where is it going to connect to? How about if you can change where that energy connects to? Like you have some kind of a little trigger beam, like the catalyst that you point to connect here or there or there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we saw was not a lightning bolt, but you know, analogous to that, there might be some other type of energy just like that that can have that effect in a certain volume of space. Let's say you need to intersect three different kinds of energy. Well, if you have two sitting there, you just need to add that third part in just one particular place. So the other stuff can be in the general area. But as we saw, you know, those cars were affected as far over as FDR Drive.
Right.
And why the cars and not the buildings? I got to thinking the cars aren't grounded. They're up on tires. And there might be something to that.
Right.
But yeah. The interference of beams, the different types of energy, I think is a key.
Okay.
And that would be an easy way to direct it, is just direct the final catalyst.
Did you have any other comments, George?
Well, one of the things that you had mentioned, which I found interesting, was that you noticed that the locks were disengaged from trunks and other...
Yes.
And that, to me, is a magnetism issue.
Right. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I looked at the magnetic field of the Earth that day, and precisely And abruptly, with each of the events, there was an abrupt shift in the Earth's magnetic field.
Wow. Yes. Have you ever considered, I understand there's that Radiant Dawn program is based on pressure points. In other words, I'm not sure how they go about doing this, but the program is really creates a series of pressure points pre-strike. In other words, there is some kind of a mechanism which the pressure points are already active inside the building components or regions. And then they send a signal, and that creates a response to these pressure points so that they can, talk about your question, Dr. Carley, where you said that the accuracy of directing it at particular buildings or even zones is very somewhat precise. Not completely precise, but they're still working on it. It's a kind of this is a test case, I think. So these, if you look at the very detailed video of Loose Change of the version 1, Dylan zooms in on floors and looks at all the squids, the crimps in detail, and you can see that there's a series of waves and they cascade in sequence. So something like that is extremely precise, and it's a series of kind of a dialogue between what is pointing at the pressure points and the pressure points responding in turn. So it's sequential. That's what it appears to be, given just a visual analysis.
Okay. I think what it was is that 100% of the upper portion of the towers were dustified. It wasn't just particular pieces of material. And even, the tipping top of Tower 2, it tipped up and kind of hovered, leaned over Building 4. And then completely turned to dust, and it never slammed to the ground. And not only that, Building 4 below it disappeared. But this one building, it don't get no respect. The main body of Building 4 completely disappeared and was severed from the north wing. It remained standing just like it was surgically sliced off. That is weird.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, the sequence that you described, It really did break the molecules down, microns down in fine points so that the top would have the 15 floors. It was completely disintegrated by the time it dropped down to the lower levels of the major.
It didn't hit anything.
Absolutely. That's visually kind of, you could observe that kind of change. And that's not even possible with thermite or thermite. Not possible.
Well, bombs or anything else.
No
kinetic energy device can do that. Yeah, thermite melts. It's a welding material. It doesn't, turn buildings into dust. But what was interesting is the building below that disappeared. Where it just smoothed down the ground like, polished to the ground. And then the last, 15 or 20 stories of the Wheatchecks laid down on top of that empty lot. But the Building 4, except for one little stub in the corner, just the main body of Building 4 just totally disappeared. Pretty amazing.
Do you know, have you done a lot of research on Building 6, which I understand had a large explosion in its center core, and there was like a...
It lost the material. It didn't have an explosion. Uh-huh. If you look from the aerial shot, those are cylindrical cutouts, like somebody took a big post hole digger. They're about 24 feet in diameter, those cylindrical cutouts. And there's testimony from one of the first responders who was in that hole, just at the edge of it, when it happened. And when the dust cleared, he looked up at the blue sky from the lobby floor. Pretty amazing.
Now, was that building, like you're saying, dustified equally? In other words, was it most of the materials, like the heavier cabinets, equipment, mechanical equipment, was that also dustified?
There's a picture I have on my website from the inside of that big hole in the middle of 6, which is about 50% of the building. You can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, it's an 8-story building, so you know you're at ground level. And there's nothing in between. A couple wheat checks at the bottom. That's it.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for thinking about these things. Okay, one of the things I wanted to also get into on the show, Dr. Wood, is for you to talk about your lawsuit, your Qui Tam case. First of all, if you could explain what that means to listeners and what's going on with that case.
Well, I can't talk about the case, but I can, because it's ongoing, but I can talk about the process. And
okay.
In layman's terms, American taxpayers fund NIST. NIST was designated to do this report to find out why and how the towers, quote, collapsed. They did not do that. They had hired various contractors to help them with the report, to do various analysis and so forth, and these contractors signed off on the report when they should have known better than what they signed off on. That, you know, first of all, they were mandated to find out why the buildings and how the buildings collapsed. And I brought an RFC to NIST, a request for corrections, noting in their report that they didn't determine how and why the towers collapsed. And they wrote back to me and acknowledged that they didn't analyze how the towers collapsed, only up until before they collapsed.
Wow.
So, you know, right there, they can't call their report, you know, analysis of the collapse. But, for example, you know, Underwriters Lab did tests on the fire, and they did a mock-up of, you know, full-scale model of the floor spans and put lots of fire on it. They couldn't get it to fail to hold loads, so they called the test after several hours. They couldn't get fire to make a collapse. So what are they doing signing off in a report that says that fire caused the towers to collapse? And it goes on. And another thing, that two of the biggest contractors are manufacturers of directed energy weapons. And I brought this to NIST's attention, but I thought that was a conflict of interest.
Oh, my God, I'll say.
Yeah, they've manufactured and developed directed energy weapons. Surely they know what the effects look like. Yet they, you know, signed off on this report. So they defrauded the American people. They consumed tax money, and we didn't get, you know, the correct answer from them. And so there's the Qui Tam suit allows us to, on the behalf of the American people, to, you know, blow the whistle and say, this is fraud.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what I'm doing.
And what's the status of the case right now?
It was first dismissed, and now it's under appeal. And if you would like to read up on those documents, I won't comment on them, but they're available on my website. At the top of the page, you'll see legal case or Qui Tam case, and you can look at all of the documents. And the request for reconsideration, that one might be worth looking at after it was dismissed.
Yeah.
And you can, I'll leave it to you to make your own conclusion.
Talk about opening up a can of worms. I wonder what excuse they'll use to blow it off in the appeal stages.
Anything. I mean, we'll see. Let's hope we have, that somebody wasn't quite paying attention, didn't look at the documents, and we'll get it a thorough look at. But I think it's important for everyone to see what is going on themselves and to look at these documents themselves. Again, not leaving it up to others to think for you.
Definitely. Wow. Have you had any problems since you started doing this work? Any threats made against you, or what usually happens when you stand up for the truth?
I don't like to focus on those things.
Right.
I focus on what needs to be done, and I feel it's important enough that I've sacrificed my career for it, and we need to get the word out. It has to do with survival of the species.
Well, I totally agree with you, and you are a true hero for this country to be doing what you're doing. And all I can say is that, you know, I'm going to tell others that I know that have radio shows, they need to have you on. This information is so important, because who knows what they're going to do next.
Right, and we need to empower the people.
Yes, and get them to stop living in fear. As a matter of fact, it was very interesting. I watch C-SPAN a lot while I'm doing work around my office, and they had Joe Biden on the National Press Club, and they actually showed a clip of him on September 10th of 2001 saying that one of our weak links was that they could fly a plane into buildings. This is the day before September 11th. And then one of the interviewers at the National Press Club had asked him, you know, since you said that on September 10th, which I thought was shocking that they brought that up as if, you know, what is he, psychic or something? I mean, obviously they all knew what was going to happen at the top levels. They asked him, where do you think our you know, weaknesses are now? And he actually mentioned the subway tunnels and such in New York City. So, you know, that sounded to me like, you know,
that's where you look next. They'll tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was January 15th. I think it was Rumsfeld. I don't remember for sure who it was, who was warning, we need to have more funding for in weaponizing space, because there's going to be a new Pearl Harbor, a new space Pearl Harbor, a new Pearl Harbor event from outer space. So we need to weaponize space to protect ourselves.
What do you think they meant by that?
I don't know, but it shows what was on their mind.
Wow. Do you think that this was done from space, or do you have any idea about that?
Pardon me?
Do you think that the towers were brought down? I'm trying to figure out, like, how they could have directed those weapons. Do you think it was done from space?
I don't know. I tend to think it probably wasn't, but it could have been. And that's not so important.
Right.
As, you know, we know they have stuff in space. We know they can do things in space. Let's say they can do it on the ground, and they just, you know, aim it up to space, ricochet it off some, you know, mirror that's in orbit, and send it down elsewhere.
Right.
There's a variety of things they can do, but the scary thing about weaponizing space is, where does it stop?
Exactly.
Where does it end? Does it come down to who can blow up the planet? Or who can annihilate whom faster? And, why are we busy trying to do weapons? What's the purpose in wars?
Well,
I don't think anybody likes wars, do they?
Well, the people in charge obviously use them to reduce the population, make lots of money, and control people.
Yeah. Isn't there another way?
Obviously there is. But
well, you know, why do we need to control people? I think that, for the most part, people are good. Think of small town America. You know, a kid wouldn't go, you know, steal a piece of bubble gum because somebody would see him and he'd be shamed, because everybody knows who he is.
Right.
And so, you know, when people are left to be accountable within their own means, instead of, we'll leave that to the police to prosecute, so we won't call him on it. And that doesn't work. Everyone takes responsibility for what's around them, I think everything's fine.
I totally agree with you. And these people definitely need to be held accountable for what they've done. Of course, the problem is the massive corruption that exists. As you said, the very people hired to figure out what happened, obviously, were told not to figure out what happened. And this is the problem that we run into at all levels.
Imagine if you worked for that organization and you wanted to speak out.
Yes.
What you'd have to go against. But I think it would be very noble to speak out and to step up. And we need to start doing that, or else we don't have a planet left.
I totally agree with you, and I know what that's like because I've stood up against the medical mafia, and I'm hoping that we'll have more and more people that will realize the looming destruction that we're going to have to contend with if they don't step out and speak up and talk about what's going on. Okay, we're going to a break. We'll get back in a moment, and we have another caller on the line. Stay tuned, Malcolm. We'll get to you after the break. Be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is energy weapons. This is our last segment. Dr. Wood, I want to thank you so much for everything you're doing. You, as I said, are a true American hero. And we're almost out of time, Malcolm. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I just wanted to add on, maybe you all have seen this documentary, Richard A. Siegel. He was filming the World Trade. He's in New York, and he was filming the World Trade Center burning. And he filmed something that was interesting. There was a black helicopter that was flying above one of the trade centers, and there was bright flashes of light coming from the helicopters right on top of the trade center. And as soon as that helicopter passed by that building, that first tower began to come down. Have you all seen this film?
No, I haven't.
I've seen that, and it's an interesting anomaly. There's a lot of different images that I've looked at in evaluating things, and I don't bank everything on one particular image, but a sense of, you know, what happened comes from everything that's consistent with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't really actually understand what happened, but it's there. You know what I mean? I saw it. It's there.
Right.
You know.
The only thing I'd like to know is why were the helicopters there when everyone was supposed to be grounded?
Yeah.
They grounded all aircraft, including military aircraft, except for, quote, a few top secret missions.
Right. And you know, one interesting thing I seen on the video, that there was one helicopter that was showing on the roof of the building. You never saw that shot again. But this helicopter, I'm guessing that it was a media helicopter, and it was showing sights on top of the roof of the trade center as it was burning. And they never showed it again.
Hmm.
Yep.
So it's interesting they allowed military aircraft to resume taking off 120 seconds, that was 2 minutes, after the North Tower went poof.
Hmm.
So they grounded them until, you know, after both towers had gone poof, and then they could take off again.
Right.
I found that interesting.
Right, right, yeah. Well, thank you for letting me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, well, y'all have a good day.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, Dr. Wood, please give any final comments you would like to give to people. Is there anything that people can do to help support you?
Yes, do something. think, be active, communicate with others, hand out material freely. There's a lot of DVDs that we have. Andrew Johnson has made a bunch of them in England, but it's hard for distributing in the United States. So if somebody would like to do that, that would be wonderful help. To, you know, the people who would click on something and order them.
Mm-hmm.
And charge, you know, the cost of mailing and whatever. And just to be able to spread these out, to empower the people. Give them information. Information is the most powerful tool there is.
Does this person have a website?
You contact me. Or through his website at the top. Also, on my homepage, I have a little DVD disc, the little icon you can click on. And that page I would like to have active with a way people could order what materials they would like.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it refers to Andrew's site, which is a wonderful site to go see as well.
Okay, well, thank you again for everything that you're doing. Keep up the good work. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you on other shows as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.